Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Some of you are like, how many books does he need there this morning? How long is this sermon? Okay, hey, so in Acts chapter 8, there's an account of a guy who's reading the Bible. And you know what? Let's just read what it says in Acts chapter 8. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? And so this guy is going, listen, I'm reading the words. I understand the language. I see what's going on here. But I don't really understand what this means. I need some help for someone to explain it to me. And so he's just going, man, I'm struggling to understand the scripture. And my question is, I wonder, have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation where you're reading the scriptures and you understand the words that, right? You can read the words that are in front of you, but you're going, I don't really understand what this is saying. Hey, do me a favor really quick, just so we can kind of maybe normalize this. If you've ever been in that situation where you've struggled to understand what the scriptures had to say, do me a favor and just raise your hand right now. Put them up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of us, ton of us, like me too included. So if you're joining online, man, type in the chat. Yeah, I've struggled to understand as well. It's very, very common. Now, I think the number one reason that someone struggles to understand the Bible is this. No one ever taught you how to understand the Bible. I think that's the number one reason why most people struggle to understand scripture is because no one ever taught you how to understand the Bible. And today, we're going to do our best to change all of that. Because that's exactly what we're talking about, is how to understand the Bible. And so, if you want to get to a place where you're looking forward to reading the Bible, I want you to hang with me over the next few minutes. If you want to get to a place where you hear from God when you read the scriptures, then I would encourage you, you know, be ready to take some notes this morning. And if you're ready to grow, if you want to grow in your faith, like, man, let's get going. So are you guys ready to get started? Okay, all right, let's do this. So as Heidi mentioned, 2 Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to be starting. We're in this series called the Bible. And we've been walking through, okay, what is the Bible? How do we read the Bible? And then today we're talking about how do we understand that? And so while you're going to 2 Peter chapter 3, which is in the New Testament, my name's Fritz, one of the pastors here. Thank you guys for being here on this February Sunday morning. Super glad you're in the house. And then we do want to welcome one other group of people who are joining us. So I'm wondering if everybody here in the house, would you do me a favor in welcoming everybody at Lighthouse Online? If you would, just let them know. Maybe you can't be here for a specific reason, or you're out of the area. We're really glad that you're with us. If you haven't already, check out lighthouse.community. Go to our website, okay? This is... it's got to be in this book here somewhere, right? Let's. There it is. Okay. Lance is just like dying right now going, you had one job. Okay, this feels like a good time for prayer. All right, Lord, we need you. We need you more than anybody to hear the truth of scriptures today. So my guess is if others are like me, there are things that are like vying, they're competing for attention in our minds. My prayer is that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we'd actually be able to like put those things to the side for right now. Not that they're not important or they don't matter, but to just say, I'm going to focus in on what God has to say to me this morning. And so would you lead us to that place, no matter where we're joining from? We ask these things through Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about understanding the Bible. Now, let's just be honest. There are some things in the Bible that are challenging to understand. And if you compound on that, like when I first came to faith in Jesus, I didn't know how to really read the Bible. I didn't know how to understand the Bible, any of that. And so reading the Bible was very frustrating for me because I didn't really know what to do with some of it. And so there are some things that are difficult to understand. In fact, the Bible admits that. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, talking about Paul's letters. Paul, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. And so I think the Bible, you know, it admits, hey, there are some challenging things in the scripture to understand. But I'd also like you to consider what Psalm 119, verse 130 says. And in fact, let's read this out loud together, starting with the teaching of your word. Are you ready? Go. The teaching of your word gives light, so even, yeah, the scriptures are clear, so that even the simple can understand. There are some things that are challenging in the scriptures. The vast majority can be easily understood, and we can understand what God is saying to us. And so I would really encourage you, when you're reading the Bible, when you're working to understand that sometimes, man, don't get wrapped around the axle on the one thing that you can't understand. What if instead you lived in the world on these other 8, 9 dozen things that you do understand, and focus on that? And, you know, just kind of have some patience waiting for the Lord to open your mind for, you know, these other things that might be a little bit challenging for you right now. And that's okay. But when it comes to understanding the Bible, there are barriers, and then there's also breakthroughs. And I want to identify just a couple of barriers to understanding that get in the way to understanding the scripture. Here's one of the first barriers that tends to get in the way, and every one of us suffers from it. It would be called a personal bias, right? Personal bias. Here's what I mean by that. We all have kind of an ideology of how things should be. We think some things to be true because we were told them to be true when we were younger. We think some things to be true because that was our experience at some point in our age. Or we just have this feeling, this sense that's deep down in my bones that this thing is true. And so that personal bias comes with you when you're reading the scripture. And a lot of times those bias can actually be to the side of what scripture is saying, or can actually be in opposition to what the scripture is saying. And oftentimes we hold too tightly to some ideology. It could be political, it could be from an experience, could be the way that you were raised, and we hold tighter to that than we do to the truth of scripture. And so you have to know that that personal bias can be a barrier to understanding what the scripture has to say. Another barrier that tends to get in the way is what I would call theology first. Theology first. And so this is usually a person has already decided the meaning of a passage before they've even really read it before. All right, there's like a buzzword that's in the passage, and you immediately go, oh, I know what that's talking about, I know what that means. And you begin with your theology first, and you read it into the passage. Usually this comes in the form of you have a favorite teacher, preacher, speaker. They already said this about that passage, so that must be the only thing, and they must be right. Some are raised heavily in certain denominations, and so you carry that theology with you when you're reading the scriptures. And so some people actually see themselves first as maybe I'm a Reformed thinker, I'm Arminian, I'm you know, Calvinist, I'm whatever. And if some of you guys, I don't even know what any of that means, wonderful. Don't, you don't need to worry about that. But some identify first as their denomination. And so you tend to take that reading into the scripture, and that becomes a real barrier to simply understanding what the Bible has to say for itself. And then a third barrier, which I think most people, especially in America, struggle with, and this is not meant to be a dig or derogatory, I think it's just true. The third barrier is this: refusing to think. Our culture overwhelmingly invites us to react and respond. right? There's some type of stimulus, there's some type of image, there's some sound bite, and we know how to respond, and we know how to react. What our culture does not encourage us to do very much of is to think. And so when we tend to read the scriptures, we tend to gravitate to the side of responding and reacting, and we tend to resist thinking. And if you resist thinking when you're reading the scriptures, that becomes a barrier to understanding what the Bible has to say. But thankfully, right, there's barriers, but there's also breakthroughs to understanding. A couple that I would throw out really quickly is two breakthroughs would be time and consistency in the Bible. If you spend time and that time is consistent in the Bible, you will start to experience breakthroughs to understanding of Scripture. And there's no shortcut to that, by the way, right? Like, you can't shortcut time, and you can't shortcut consistency. It's something that you ask the Holy Spirit to give to you, and you step into that. And so the more you're in the Bible, the more you'll understand. The other breakthrough, which is really important as well, is humility. Humility when you come to the scriptures. And so humility would say this: when I come to read the Bible, I am not coming to tell the Bible what it means, and you know, I already know what that is, and I'm going to tell other people what I think about this thing. Humility is actually coming to the scriptures as a learner. I'm going to come as a student. I'm going to come as a learner. I'm going to read the words of God, who knows far more than I will ever imagine, think, or hope to understand. And I'm going to sit at his feet to learn, as a learner, right? Those two can be really clear breakthroughs to understanding. There's one massive key to understanding the scripture. I'm going to let you know what that is. And it's actually even greater than time and consistency. It's even greater than humility. The one key to understanding scripture well is this: Jesus. Jesus is the key to understanding scripture throughout the whole thing. First off, it begins with faith in Jesus, right? That's kind of a starting place. When that happens, it opens the door to all kinds of new understanding. But the other thing I would say is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27. He's talking to, this is after his resurrection, by the way. He's appeared to two disciples who are walking down the road, and they're explaining to Jesus, you know, because they don't recognize him right now. And they're explaining to Jesus all the things that happened, but they're going, you know, we don't really understand why he had to die, and now some are saying that he's resurrected, and man, we're struggling to understand that. And this is what Jesus' reply was. And he said to them, "O foolish ones," very compassionate, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And then check this out. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus is the key to understanding scripture. We talked about this a few weeks ago. The Old Testament is a dimly lit picture of the reality of Christ that was to come. He was going to bring fulfillment to all of that, right? In fact, a little bit later, this is after that journey, Jesus is with some of his disciples in Luke 24, verses 44 through 45. He says this, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." And so Jesus is the key to understanding scripture very, very well. I just have to share this with you. The Bible is far more about God. The Bible is far more about Jesus. The Bible is far more about the Holy Spirit than it is about you. The Bible is far more about God. The Bible is far more about Jesus. It's far more about the Holy Spirit than it is about you. And if you can cross into that, that's a game changer. In fact, one of my friends recently shared a little bit of her story of how that was a major crossover for her. So I'd like you to take a listen to Michaela's story for just a moment.
I found that when I read the scriptures and stuff, I would get discouraged almost, like I was reading the Bible wrong. I would read it and I would try and pull out, what can I do what actions do I need to take based on the scripture? Would start to like make a to-do list, or what do I need to work on? How do I need to make myself better? And I remember it just discouraged me from reading the Bible. I got to the point where I didn't want to do it anymore because I was just like, this is so much work, you know, so much I have to do because that's all I would pull out of it. And then I remember sitting down reading it one time, and it was almost like God was just like, stop, this isn't about you. It's not what you do, it's what I do. It changed the whole perspective of making a list, a to-do list, or a how do I need to work on myself list into a, wow, I can't do that. I can try, but oof, this is a lot of work. I can't do this. I need Jesus. It just points me further to Jesus. And that moment of I was reading the Bible wrong, and God was like, don't look at what they did. It's not about what they did. It's about what I did and what I'm doing. And it's not what you do. It's what I do.
Catch what you're saying there. I was struggling to read. I was struggling to understand because I was making it about me. And in fact, I was getting beat down when I was reading scripture. When she made the turn, this is about God, right? When the Holy Spirit opened her eyes to that, it was a game changer. You can understand the Bible. God wants you to understand the Bible. And in fact, he has provided everything necessary for you to be able to understand what the Bible has to say. So here's what we're going to do. We've got a couple of minutes left, and I was praying and going, okay, Lord, like we could talk about, you know, like the different aspects of studying scripture and understanding, or we could actually just do it. So we're going to enter into basically a Bible study with, I don't know, like 200 of our closest friends right now, and we're just going to jump into that. By the way, everything we're about to do, we have created a resource. We're just calling it the Basic Bible Study Guide, and if you want to get that, just check that on the back of your connection card. You can also get that online. We'll email an electronic version of that to you tomorrow if you'd like to receive the Basic Bible Study Guide. So we're simply going to walk through some elements of basic Bible study. And so step one, if you're going to read and understand scripture, is you begin with prayer. Always. Why? Because we're about to engage in a supernatural, a spiritual moment. And so why would we not invite the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in that moment as well? And if you were here last week, or if you caught it online, Larry shared a really simple but thoughtful prayer that we're just going to use right now. So we're actually going to pray right now. So let's bow our heads, and we're going to pray the simple prayer that Larry taught us. It's this. God, would you please quiet myself and open my heart and mind, because I want to see Jesus in the pages of Scripture today. And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Okay, so once we pray, now we're going to read. Because that's where we begin with, right? We're going to start with reading. Now, we're going to do a walkthrough of a passage in Philippians chapter 4. We're actually going to do a passage, Philippians 4:13. Now, the reason we're going to do that is I think this is an often misinterpreted passage of Scripture that usually gets translated into. The passage is this, right? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And the passage typically gets translated into, I can score all of the points. I can make all of the sales. I can do whatever I want to do because Christ gives me the strength and the ability to do that. And I can see how people would get that from the passage, but we want to understand the passage rightly. So we've chosen our passage. We're looking at Philippians 4:13. And one of the things that I like to do is I like to look at a passage in multiple translations. So let's do this. Let's just read these out loud together, okay? So this is the New International Version. Are you ready? Go. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Okay, so the him is Jesus, and right, that's good. Okay, let's do the English Standard Version. You ready? Go. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And you're going, wait a second, wasn't that just the last one that we read? You just put different letters on the back end of it. Okay, so what you're seeing is, okay, high levels of agreement between two translations. Now let's look at the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version actually helps us, like takes the original words that are in there and helps to bring forward some additional meaning from the original Greek and the original Hebrew. So you'll see some of that in these brackets and the parentheses. All right, we're going to read this together. Are you ready? Go. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. That is Amplified, isn't it? Yes, no doubt. True to their title. So they're helping to understand, okay, all these things are the things that Christ has called me to. It's not all the things. It's actually the things that Jesus has invited me to do, has called me to do, and I can fulfill his purpose. And notice everything is in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, right? I'm not off here doing things on my own. It's all in Christ, and it's all through Christ. Okay, let's look at the New Living Translation. This will be our last one. Are you ready? Go. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Okay, very similar. So I like looking and go, okay, where is their agreement? Where is maybe different words being used? Because maybe that word is far, far richer in the original language than what the English language allows us to do. But I like looking at multiple translations of the same passage. Now, once I've read a couple of those passages through translations, I like to go to context, okay? So we're in Philippians 4. We're looking at verse 13. So what I would start with is start reading from chapter 4, verse 1, and I'd finish the whole chapter, right? If you do that, you're going to notice that what Paul is writing about there is you got two ladies who are kind of in a disagreement in the Philippian church, and he's calling them to peace and to reconcile. Then he says, listen, when you're facing anxiety, turn that anxiety into prayer. And trust God instead of worrying. And in fact, if you do that, he says, you'll get the peace of God. And he says, man, think on these noble things, these good things, these righteous things, and you'll ultimately end up getting God himself in the process. And then he says, I have been in lots of situations. I've been in situations where I've been in need. I've been in situations where I've had abundance. And then he says this, I have learned the secret of contentment, no matter the situation, okay? And then comes our passage. I can do all these things through Christ who gives me strength. And on the back end of that, he thanks the Philippian church for their generosity in supporting his ministry, okay? So that's the context of that passage. Now again, I'm not picking on anybody, but if you read that chapter, there's nothing in that chapter about touchdowns. There's nothing in that chapter about making sales, right? And beating your goal and your record, right? In fact, it's talking about anxiety and turning to prayer. In fact, it's saying, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have abundance, and no matter where I'm at, I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to be satisfied in Christ, no matter my situation. Now, all of that is included in just reading. We haven't done anything except read the words and then read the context around it and looking at a couple of translations. Now, the next place that I like to go is after I pray, after I read, is I go to what I would call research, or to study and investigate. And that's what these two books up here are for. I think two of the greatest tools that you could have in your arsenal is one would be a study Bible. Okay, these are really, really solid. Now, I want to make a point. A study Bible is different from like a life application Bible. I would lean more towards a study Bible than the other. Life applications aren't bad or wrong or evil. They're just different. I would gravitate towards a study Bible. So you can see mine's a little bit worn. It's needed some help from some duct tape there. But it's all good. The reason I like study Bibles isn't so much, I'm not really a huge fan of these notes on the bottom. What I think is really, really valuable for a study Bible is the opening of each book gives you some basic introductory just truth, right? Who wrote this? Who were they writing to? Why did they write this? What else was going on in there? I think this is absolutely valuable when I'm reading the scriptures. And so if you don't have a study Bible, this is where I would start. If you have this, you're well ahead of the way in the game. If you're looking for an additional tool, I would throw out a Bible dictionary. I'm a big fan of Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, like $20. You can put this in your arsenal. arsenal. Again, all of the words that are topics that are talked about in Scripture are in here, defined, names, things along those lines. Again, if you go to like Philippians, we could go to Philippians in here, and it will do similar to a study Bible where it'll say, hey, here's who wrote Philippians, here's who they were writing to, right? All of this right here. Here's some major themes. It'll also walk you through some of the outline of the letter as well. Those are two great tools. You don't need them, but I think they're really, really helpful if you're wanting to understand Scripture. So I dove into my study Bible and into my dictionary, and I looked at the author, the audience, and the purpose. So the author of Philippians is Paul. What do we know about Paul? Well, Paul used to hate Jesus and actually used to travel around to imprison Christians and actually was approving of their killing. And so that's who Paul was. And then he met Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and it changed his life. And he went from being the greatest opponent to Christianity to the greatest sharer of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? He gave the entire rest of his life to talking about the resurrection of Jesus. That's Paul. The other thing I learned in my study Bible and my dictionary is Paul is probably in prison for the gospel while he's writing this letter to the Philippians, okay? Keep that in mind. He's in prison for sharing the gospel, and he's writing this letter to the Philippians. Who is he writing to? He's writing to Christians in a city called Philippi. One thing maybe just to know is there are not a lot of Jews in Philippi, so a lot of Greeks. Not a lot of people with Old Testament background and understanding of the rituals and those types of things. But also, he's not writing to the entire city. He's writing to the Christians who live in that city. Okay, that's important. Last thing on my research, why did Paul write this letter? The core reason is the Philippians had sent a financial gift to Paul to support him in his ministry that he was doing, and he was writing a thank you letter to them. And he's saying, you know, man, you guys were the first partners I had in this ministry. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And in the process of that, he talks about who Christ is with great clarity. He talks about how to follow Christ in the world, and then you get to Philippians 4:13 as well. So all that's happening in there. And so that's just from doing a little bit of research in my study Bible and in my Bible dictionary. Now, we're kind of just stuffing all of those things into our minds, into our spirits, and into our hearts. Because now we're going to the fourth step. Here's a fourth step. It's an R word, right? Because I was feeling really Baptist. And so it is reflect. Right? So we pray, we read, we research, and reflect. Here's what we're really talking about. We're talking about thinking. We're thinking. We're taking all of this content we just pulled together, and we're going to think. And one of the first questions to ask is, what would this passage have meant to the original readers, to the Philippians? What would it have meant to them, right? They would have read this, and they would have said, wow, Paul seems to really grasp that no matter his situation, right, whether he's struggling, where he doesn't have anything, he has learned how to trust Christ through any situation. Whether he's enjoying the blessing of God or whether he's facing challenges in his personal life. Paul has learned, right? He's been strengthened by Christ to stay focused on Christ, to be used of Christ no matter the situation that he's in, right? I think that's what these original readers would have gotten away from that. Now, once you cross there, my mind immediately goes, okay, what does this say about God? What does it say about Jesus? What does it say about the Holy Spirit? And really quickly, my mind went to, I started thinking about the earthly ministry of Jesus. Jesus was able to walk through every single one of those situations in his earthly ministry. He had people blessing him and praising him and high-fiving him, throwing palm leaves on the ground, saying, you know, Hosanna, praise to the King, right? They're high-fiving him, and he kept his focus on God. And they had moments where people were betraying him, they were lying about him, they were beating him, they were killing him, hanging him on a cross. What was his focus? On the Father. If anybody knew the secret to contentment, it's Jesus. And it was found in simply staying focused on the Father and on his will, right? Jesus knows what it is to have everything. Jesus knows what it is to have nothing, right? Where did Paul learn this? Where did he get the strength? He got it from Jesus himself, right? This is what makes the resurrection of Jesus so important and central to every believer, right? Because the resurrection says, no matter what happens in this life, Whether you live a life of blessing and ease and comfort, or every day is a struggle just to get out of bed, if your faith is in Christ, it ends in victory. It ends in the resurrection. It ends knowing that I will be with God. We just sang about it this morning. Whatever happens here, this will not have the final word. If I'm in Christ, Christ has the final word. When I've thought about the original readers, when I think about Jesus, my next question is, well, what about me? And very quickly, I start to identify all the different ways I complain about this not going that way, and that guy was kind of late, and I wish they would have done that thing, and oh, that's not really my style, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's not contentment. That's discontentment. That's focusing on the here and now and focusing there and letting that drive, you know, my personality, my joy, right? Like, if you want to dive down into the deeps, like, dive into politics, right? Like, that'll suck you down faster than anything. If you want to get out of that, man, focus on the Lord. Focus on Him, right? And what this is calling me up to is to say that I can face any situation because I am in Christ. And Christ is in me, and He empowers me to walk through it. And even if He invites me to do something very challenging, something I think could be almost impossible for me to do, this tells me I can do it because He's called me to it, and He's led the way, and He'll empower me by His Spirit to do so, right? That's reflection. That's thinking about the passage. Now, sometimes you need a little bit of extra help. And I don't have a slide for this, but I would say the next place to go would be cross-references. Looking at, and so that's one of the good things a study Bible has, is it will have cross-references to say, hey, look at this other passage, because it will help you understand this from a different angle and a different perspective. And just really quickly, a couple cross-references were things like 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, that in my weakness, Christ's strength becomes apparent. Ephesians 3:16 tells me that I can pray for strength and that the Holy Spirit starts by doing a work inside of me to get there. 2 Timothy 4, verse 17 tells about a time when Paul was afraid to share the gospel. So he turned to the Lord and God strengthened him and enabled him to do that, right? And so you start to see these other cross-references that help us understand what the passage is. And then finally, you know, another place you could go is actually talking to other growing disciples. You know, you still have questions, you're working through something. Man, I would grab a trusted growing follower of Jesus and go, hey, I read this, I'm wrestling with this. Can you help me think through this and understand this a little bit more? So this is where Lighthouse groups come in, meeting with a friend over coffee, whatever it might be. And so I want you to know that studying the scripture is not meant to be done in a Bible, or excuse me, it is meant to be done in a Bible. I meant to say bubble. But two different things. It's not meant to be done in a bubble, in isolation by yourself, but it's actually meant to be done in community. We do this together, right? And so I think that's really, really critical. So that leaves us with the last question. How are we to understand this passage? Because that's where we came to. How is it that we're supposed to understand this passage, right? We've prayed, we've read, we've researched, we've reflected, we've looked at cross-references, we've reached out to other growing disciples, all those things. How are we to understand this passage? Philippians 4:13. Here's what I would say. That by faith, I can learn how to rely on Christ to strengthen me through any situation I face. And actually walk with contentment and joy. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. And He's already done it. Right? That's what this passage is about. Right? That's the core of this thing. And to wrap up basic Bible study, you go, okay, how am I going to apply this? That's what we're going to talk about next week. So... you'll have to come back to find out about that. But I want to draw your attention again. If you're going, man, I really want to learn how to understand Scripture, that next step, please send me the basic Bible study guide. Is a great, great tool to help you get started through just about any passage that you're going to face. So remember, you know, you had this guy who's reading Scripture, and Philip says, well, do you understand it? And he goes, no. I don't. How can I unless somebody explains it to me? Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 35. It says this. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. The key to understanding. Philip went right there. Listen, you can actually start to learn how to understand the Bible to the point where you can help other people understand the Bible and walk with God. And when you learn how to do that, you know what ends up happening? People start coming to faith. People start putting their faith in Jesus Christ. When you start to learn how to understand the Bible, people grow spiritually and they start finding freedom from sin in their lives. When you understand the Bible, people begin helping others to know God, to love God, and to rely on God in their own lives. Guys, just from taking time to understand what the Bible has to say. And I want to tell you this, you can understand the Bible. God wants you to understand the Bible. And God has provided everything necessary for you to be able to understand the Bible. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And we end our teachings with the question, Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him for a moment. Holy Spirit, my prayer would be that you would help us to see with clarity that the way we get to closer intimacy with you is simply by knowing you. Knowing you as you have revealed yourself in the Scriptures. And so my prayer is that in every single person who can hear the sound of my voice right now, that you would place within us a hunger and a desire to know you and to know that that's what the Scriptures do. And may we resist things like looking for, just better habits or ways to be more disciplined or life hacks or whatever it might be, but instead to simply be caught up and in awe of who you are and what you've done. And in the process of that, like, God, I've just found you just end up changing my life along the way. I've become more loving to people that I wasn't loving to. I'm start seeing patience increase in my life. I greater levels of compassion. I start thinking about myself less. I start thinking about others and you more. It's like it's just almost this byproduct of being with you. So I pray that you would draw us to that place. You know, we've talked about the power of prayer, and so that's one of the reasons why at the end of every service, we want to pray for you, and we offer that as an opportunity, is to simply pray together. And so let me tell you what's going to happen is the band is going to come up. They're just going to lead us in one more song, and during that song, we'll have prayer leaders who will be available in the four corners of the room. They're actually heading there now. So we'll have here by the TVs and back by the sound booth. You'll see them. They'll have this gray lanyard there, and that would be one way you can identify a prayer leader. But you can pray about anything at all in your life. And what you'll do is you'll just step out of your seat, head down one of the rows or the aisles, and find a prayer partner, and you'll tell them your name and, you know, what you want to pray for. And so you don't have to be a member to receive prayer. And you please don't ever feel ashamed. I know sometimes feel that, like, oh, what will people think? Or, you know, I think all eyes will be on me. And in all honesty, actually, I don't know that very many people will notice. And so it's okay. This is just a gift, a way for us to minister to one another. So if you're here in the house, let's stand together. We're going to worship. And if you'd like to pray, I'm going to invite you to do that. But I want to pray first. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to receive prayer, don't wait. We would love to pray with you this morning.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.